Now, how'd you like to take a stroll through the universe? Someone who knows his way around the universe is Professor Richard de Grace from Peking University. He's visiting Canberra at the moment to talk about his work that focuses on the formation of stars and the evolution of galaxies. And he's giving a public lecture at the Australian Academy of Science Shine Dome at 6 o'clock this evening. Professor de Grace joins us in the studio. Thanks very much for coming in.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
What are you going to be taking people through tonight? I mean, obviously you can't really, as much as we'd like to, go for a stroll through the universe, but you'll make a fist of it, won't you?
Yes, I'll try to take people along the way from sizes and scales that we know on Earth all the way to the edge of the universe, in essence in 26 steps, every step being 10 times the size of the previous step.
Okay, can you explain that in more detail? So
we're going from 1 square meter,
yes,
to 10 by 10 to 100 by 100, etc., etc., and in 26 steps that leads us to the edge of the universe. On the way, we'll be looking at the objects we see in the universe. We'll see some movies made by public outreach persons, by real astronomers. I'll tell them a bit about what we can see and what we can do and what we can learn from going on a journey through the universe.
Mm, there's so much we don't know, though, isn't there? I was talking to Professor Ken Freeman, who won the Prime Minister's Prize for Science just last week, and his work is focused on dark matter, and there's still so much we don't understand about what makes up our universe.
We don't understand about 95% of the universe. What I'll be talking about tonight is what we can actually see with our eyes or with instruments that are sensitive to different types of radiation. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about dark matter. I'm not talking about the thing that we know nothing about, which pervades the universe, called dark energy. This is what your local astronomer won the Nobel Prize for Physics for last year.
But you will be talking about what we do know about how stars are formed. What do we know about that?
We know that stars form in large groups, and these large groups form when galaxies tend to collide. These are very violent events in the universe, and they come with huge pressure, huge temperatures, and they form just the right conditions to form large groups of stars called star clusters. This is my area of research.
So what about the Milky Way? How do you describe the Milky Way?
The Milky Way is just a run-of-the-mill spiral galaxy. It has a spiral structure. If you look at it from above, you would see a very nice round galaxy with spiral arms. On the side, it looks like a pancake with a big bulge in the middle, a flying saucer, if you like.
Uh-huh.
And there are many galaxies like the Milky Way, but also many other galaxies that look very different. You can put them into different categories, and this was done already a century ago. That's, in essence, stamp collecting. It doesn't mean much in terms of physics.
Why are galaxies formed differently?
This is a very good question, a question that is the topic of much research efforts these days. We still don't really know. There are some basic theories why galaxies form in different ways. That has to do when the stars form, at the time that the initial cloud of gas from which galaxies form starts to collapse because of gravity. And when the stars form has an impact on what galaxies will look like eventually.
Very basic question. The difference between stars and planets?
Stars shine and planets don't. The sun is a star, the sun is our nearest star, and what happens inside stars is that you've got nuclear reactions which cause radiation, and they emit radiation. Planets are gaseous or rocky bodies that don't radiate emission as such, they just reflect the emission from their stars.
Okay. How many stars can we see, do you think, in the sky with the naked eye?
Oh, that is a very good question. I have absolutely no idea. We can see at least several thousand stars with the naked eye, but that's nothing compared to the number of stars in our Milky Way,
yeah,
which runs into the hundreds of billions of stars.
How good are our telescopes at the moment for seeing stars?
The largest telescopes on Earth these days have diameters of between 8 and 10 meters. That means we can look very far away, and almost to the edge of the universe. The problem is that we have an atmosphere, which is good for us humans, of course, mm-hmm, but it's not good for astronomy because the atmosphere consists of air, which moves around, and it makes your star look like a little blurred disk. So it's better to go out to space, and tonight I'll be talking a lot about what you can do with the Hubble Space Telescope, which is sitting above the atmosphere and therefore is not affected by this movement of the air. I'm also very interested in the next generation of telescopes. There are, at the moment, worldwide, three efforts ongoing which look viable to build the next generation of telescopes with diameters between 30 and 50 meters. That means that we have, in essence, an enormously large light bucket. We just collect more light.
Mm-hmm.
which means that we can see fainter objects, potentially much farther away than we can do today with the current largest telescopes.
Yeah, how much of a difference will that make with those? How much? What percentage more do you think we'll be able to see with much bigger telescopes?
The sensitivity of a telescope depends on the size of the mirror. So if a mirror is twice as large, you get four times as much sensitivity. So fainter objects, which are four times fainter, in essence. With a 30-meter compared to a 10-meter, you get nine times more light in that you can detect. So we will be able to see much fainter objects. We will not be able to see much deeper into the universe because our current telescopes allow us to almost see the edge of the observable universe already.
So what do you mean by the edge of the universe, the edge of the observable universe? I mean, the universe is infinite, is it not?
That's what we believe, but we believe that the universe formed from a cataclysmic event called the Big Bang about 13.7 billion years ago. Ever since, it has been expanding, and it's apparently expanding ever faster as time goes by. That means that and light only has a finite speed, so we can only see light that left us 13.7 billion years ago. Now, in the meantime, the universe has been expanding, so we can actually look much further than 13.7 billion light years. It's about between 30 and 40 billion light years, but we cannot see anything that came from more distant objects because the light has not yet reached us. So that's what I mean by the observable universe.
And the light never will.
If the universe keeps expanding ever more rapidly, it will never reach us, no.
That's very frustrating, isn't it, for star observers?
If we have an accelerating universe, then it will get darker and darker eventually, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. What led to your interest in particular in this part of astronomy?
After obtaining my PhD from a university in the Netherlands, I did a postdoctoral position, a three-year research position in the United States, where I was given wonderful Hubble Space Telescope images of gravitationally interacting and colliding galaxies. And, you know, when you go through your career, you just take one step at the time, and eventually this led me to my current interests.
And what's happening and I find it still interesting that it's Peking University, not Beijing University, but it's Peking University in Beijing.
That's right.
And what sort of research is happening there that you're involved in?
Well, I'm actually the associate director of an international research institute there called the Kavli Institute for Astronomy and Astrophysics, supported by the Kavli Foundation, which is based in the United States. We try to attract the best scientists that we can. We don't focus on a specific area in science, but we try to make some groups, and one of the groups is the group that I'm leading, which focuses on these star clusters I talked about earlier. Other people look at planets orbiting stars outside our solar system, and another set of people in our group or in our institute looks at what happened in the very early stages of the universe.
You talk about the development of new telescopes. We're quite excited here in Australia about the Square Kilometre Array, which is a radio telescope. Right. What do you hope to learn from that system once it's operational?
A radio telescope is sensitive to radiation at radio wavelengths, which is centimeters to meters, so it's very long wavelengths. That tells us something about the distribution of gas in the universe. Gas is mostly very tenuous hydrogen atoms, in essence. Optical telescopes and infrared telescopes, which I use most of the time, they look at stars and the distribution of dust. Dust in astronomy is, in essence, what you vacuum up at home. It's carbon-based particles. At radio waves, we can actually look through this dust, and we can see the distribution of gas, which presumably formed the initial stages of the formation of galaxies.
Right, so it's not directly applicable to the sort of research that you're doing.
No, it's all related, actually.
Yeah, but it's mixed in. Yeah,
yeah, but as astronomers, we have to really know a little bit of everything to be able to combine it and to come up with the next theory or the next interpretation of our observations.
Just fascinating. If you would like to know more about how the universe works and how stars are formed, how star clusters come together, how galaxies evolve, all this information will be available tonight. You'll never be able to understand all of it. And the professor is laughing. But Professor Richard de Grace from Peking University, who's on a tour of Australia at the moment talking about his work, is giving a free public lecture at 6 o'clock this evening at the Shine Dome, the Academy of Science Shine Dome, just down there at Acton. So if you'd like to go along and hear more, please do. Thank you so much for coming in this afternoon.
My pleasure.
Professor Richard de Grace.